Amen. 2 Kings chapter 2 is a familiar account of Elijah being translated, taken up in the whirlwind, and his successor, Elisha. Amen. Do you ever get Elijah and Elisha confused? It's easy to do. Elijah was the prophet that was, well, he was this towering figure in Israel. It was obvious to everyone that he walked with God and knew God. He spoke for God. He had power with God. Ahab called him the troubler in Israel. Isn't it interesting how that many times the thing that we need to hear and the voice that is needed to those that aren't following the Lord or don't know the Lord, it's just, you know, it's a nuisance to them. It's a troubling thing to them. And Ahab called him a troubler because he spoke the truth and he prophesied the truth. I want to read here these few verses here, beginning with verse number 1 in 2 Kings chapter 2. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. The sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he saith, and he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they stood by Jordan, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. They were divided hither and thither so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. It parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. When the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. In Elijah's life and ministry, there was this continual demonstration of the power of God. The hand of God was upon him. It was obvious because this man of God in Israel, everything that he said came to pass. Every prayer that he prayed for it to not rain, and it didn't rain. He prayed for it to rain, and it did rain. He prayed for fire to come down and consume the sacrifices, and the fire fell. He prayed for food, and food was provided. God used him to heal the sick, to raise the dead. Miraculous things took place. When you think of the prophet Elijah, that's really the first thing that comes to your mind. Well, all these wonderful things that God used him to do, miraculous events in his life. It was obvious that the power of God rested upon him. I think that all of us have known, if you've been around the house of God, been around Pentecost very long, you have heard about moves of God. You have heard about the miraculous. Some of you have witnessed the miraculous. You've seen God move in amazing ways. Others, and I believe that the younger you are here in this service this morning, sadly to say, the less likely it is that you have seen miraculous things take place. The older you are, you may have been of a generation where there were those who were witnessing firsthand the mighty power of God. I can't think of anything more necessary and more important for you and for me than to see God's mighty hand revealed in this hour. When we talk about revival, I think we're talking about a lot of different things. Certainly we're talking about souls being saved. Certainly we are talking about the church being revived and God doing wonderful things among his people. But I think really when we ask for revival, we're asking for God to come and to show his power. For God to come and to demonstrate his power among us. I'm old enough that I have seen some things, some supernatural works of God. I have seen some miraculous things take place. And I think that the thing that is really the message that I want to try to convey today, and that is that for today, for this generation, for those of us that are living right now, and our young people and our younger set that are part of our church, and even some of us who've been around for a while, but it's been a while since we've really seen very much go on that we could say, that's the hand of God that has done that. That's the necessary element that's required for us to really, really be experiencing revival that we're praying for. Amen. For God to come and visit us. For his mighty power to come and to move among us. Now, whenever God wants to move, then there has to be a willingness to subject to his purpose and his will. There has to be a willingness to do what he calls you to do. Elisha became the servant of Elijah the prophet. And Elijah's just going along one day, and he sees Elisha plowing in the field of his parents with 12 different yoke of oxen. Now, he's not using all of those. He's got his own team. And then there are 11 other teams that are out there. So it really is describing that Elisha's family was probably wealthy. They had a lot of land. They had a lot of servants, a lot of workers. And Elisha is actually working with all of those other servants. And he's out there with his own team. So it represents a man that is doing common labor, but he no doubt has come from a family that's maybe not necessarily wealthy and rich, but they have plenty. And they have a lot as far as this world's goods are concerned. But when Elijah comes along, he puts his hand upon him. It says that he came over to him and that he threw his cloak over him. And whenever he did that, Elisha immediately knew. Everybody in Israel knew who Elijah was. They may not have all liked him, but they all knew he was. They knew that he was a man who spoke for God. They knew that the mighty hand of God was upon him. And whenever Elijah came and he put his cloak upon Elisha, Elijah immediately knew what that meant. It meant that his life wasn't going to be the same anymore. It meant that the life that he was living was coming to an end. And he knew that he was being called out to follow Elijah. And he was willing to do it. He was willing to lay down all that he had, all of his possessions, and to leave his household, to leave his family, and to leave all those things to follow this man of God because he wanted to do God's will. We're talking about, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the power of God that rested upon a man like Elijah? Is it available for you and me today? Well, if it's not, then the Word of God is not trustworthy. I do believe that God's power is very real and God can move today, but He's looking for certain people who are willing to make themselves available to God. Elisha was willing to do that. He was willing to leave it all and to forsake it all. And I think before you see the power of God working in your life, there has to be the understanding of the value and the importance of God's work and God's power at work in your life. It has to be something that you value and you see is more important than anything that this world has to offer. Amen. The Bible says that Elisha was the one that poured water on the hands of Elijah, that he was the servant. That's really all he's doing. But from the day that that Elijah's cloak was put upon him, he recognized the call of God, and he recognized that he was going to be with this man of God, and that he was going to follow closely. Amen. You want the power of God to work in your life? Then you make God's work and God's purpose in your life the number one thing. You set aside everything else. You be willing to forsake all to follow God. You put it all on the line. You be willing to sacrifice. Now, He may not call you to leave all your possessions or to leave your family behind, but there are those that He calls to those kind of callings. But whatever He asks you to do, that you would be willing to do it because you want to witness God's power in your life, working and moving in your life. Amen. Now, before we get to, you know, Elijah the prophet was, the scripture says he was a man of like passion. And so he wasn't some superman. He was just a man like you and me. He was a commoner. He was a common man that had yielded himself to God. And as a result of his commitment and his calling to God, then the power of God rested upon him. His words that he spoke were powerful. His acts were powerful. As a matter of fact, there are 16 different miracles that are recorded in the scripture that Elijah performed in his ministry. Those at least 16 that were recorded in the word of the Lord. Elijah was a man who had power with God. Amen. Not only should you be willing to do whatever it is that God wants you to do, lay aside everything to experience the power of God, but you have to be willing to be like Elisha became, a servant, to serve in whatever capacity. He didn't care if he was the man who poured water upon the hands of the prophet. It didn't matter to him. He just wanted to be right with him because he knew, if I'm with Elijah, I'm going to see God's hand at work. If I'm with Elijah, I'm going to hear the voice of God. If I'm close to this man, I'm going to witness the things of God. And I want you to be assured here this morning that if you'll be willing to make yourself available to God and serve in the kingdom of God in whatever capacity and just pursue after the things of God, you can see God's hand at work in your life. You can see the Lord working and moving in your life. So Elijah, he sets out for Gilgal and begins his journey. The scripture says that he comes to three different places here in the text. He comes to Bethel, he comes to Jericho, and finally to Jordan. Each one of those places, the prophet says to Elisha, "You just stay here. I'm going to go on. You just stay here at this place." And Elisha, every time, would say, I'm paraphrasing, "I ain't staying here. There's no way I'm going to stay here. I've been right on your heels from the day that I left my family and my homeland. And I know that this is the day. This is the day that you're going to be translated. I'm not going to stay here. As the Lord liveth, I'm not staying here. I'm not going to stay here." He was not willing to be hindered or distracted by anything. And really, these were just tests that Elijah was putting in his pathway to see if he would decide, "I think I'll stay here. It's a little more comfortable here. I think I'll stay at this place. I have friends here. I'm going to do this. He's told me just to stay here, so I guess I'll just stay here at this place." Elijah was testing Elisha's commitment. He was testing to see if he was willing to go all the way. If he was going to be his successor, he knew that he had to be someone that was committed and willing to do what he had promised that he would do from the very beginning. Amen. And so he was not going to walk away from him. He was not going to stop. He was not discouraged. He said the same thing at Bethel, said the same thing at Jericho. Every place that he went, he said, I'm not going to stay at this place. I'm, as the Lord liveth, I'm going to be where you are. I'm not going to leave you. Amen. That was the kind of commitment. He was put to the test to see if he's willing to go all the way with the Lord. You want the power of God resting upon your life. You want to be used of the Lord. Then just sell out to God. Just sell out to God completely. Just completely yield yourself to the Lord. Lay down all your desires and all of your wishes and all of your plans that you have for your life and give it all to Jesus. Surrender it all and don't be distracted by any of the things that this world would like to take you into or suck you into, but instead commit yourself to the will of God and the plan of God. That's the kind of man or woman that God wants to pour his power out upon you. Amen. I want to say just a little bit about the previous generation, because this is like the passing of the torch in this text. It's showing Elijah's generation and the succeeding generation. I don't think Elisha was necessarily in temperament or personality like Elijah. Elijah was, lived in the wilderness, lived in the caves, and he was like, you know, that's why that he was. They thought he was that John the Baptist was Elijah because they, you know, the kind of clothes they wore and just the kind of personality that they were and the kind of ministry that God. I don't know that Elijah had that same personality. So don't think that you have to be just like those who were of the generation before. God's called you for right now. He's called you for this day. But that doesn't mean that there are many, many things that we can aspire to and we can learn from those that we're following. Amen. I'm so thankful. I was going through my mind thinking about different people in ministry who influenced my life, and how it's funny that so many of them, a lot of the preachers would go by their first initials. I was thinking of people that influenced my life. A.T. Gillette, K.A. Smith, D.C. Branham. I go on down the list. I don't know why they use their first initials, but I guess I'm going to have to do something different and pick up the use of my first initials. No, I don't know that was necessarily it, but I have a concern that we have lost our respect and our appreciation for what's been handed to us. That there were those who have paid a price, who have had a real touch in our lives, and they've influenced us even here at this location. In our church, we've been influenced by people, and God has moved mightily through a previous generation. And they wanted to hand down to us some wonderful things that God has given to them. Sad to say, many in this generation, a younger generation, they view, you know, the old-fashioned commitments and the old-fashioned ways is, you know, well, this is a new day. This is a new generation. It's good for them, and I'm glad they lived that way, and I'm glad they did the things that they did. But this is a new day, and we just have to hear what God is speaking to us today. And I know that any time that there's the lack of honor and respect for those who are our forefathers, we're going down the wrong pathway. Now, I don't want to go back to the good old days. I'm not saying I want to go back to those days. I don't want to ride horse and buggy to church. I don't want to have to light lanterns or carry wood or coal in every time we have church. I'm glad we've got cars. I'm glad we've got a nice, comfortable building. I'm glad for the advantages that we have of this day. I'm not talking about those old-fashioned things, but there's some old-fashioned values that many of our forefathers had. There were some many old-fashioned convictions that they had, and commitments that they made to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they lived out that kind of a life. And you wonder, why did they have such power with God? Why was there such anointing that rested upon their life? In many cases, it was because of the level of the commitment that they had made to the Lord Jesus Christ. In many cases, it was because of the times of prayer and fasting that they made that commitment to the Lord. And God's hand was upon their life, and they coveted His power and His anointing that rested upon them, and they depended upon Him to work in their lives. So let's not pass on the generation, this will be like Elijah and say, no, Elijah, I'm going to stay right on your heels. I want to learn everything I can. I want to witness everything I can. I want to hear everything I can. I'm not going to leave. I'm going to stay right with you. Thank God for those that have blazed the trail before us, for those who sacrificed, for those who prayed and fasted and preached and worked and sacrificed so you and I can have the privileges that we have today. We need to remember how blessed we are by the previous generation. Amen. Elijah was respected and was followed by Elisha. He would not be deterred. He would not be distracted by anything. Three times he says, you just stay here at Bethel. You just stay here at Jericho. You just stay here. And every time he was quick to respond, as the Lord liveth, I am going with you. I'm going to stay with you. I am not going to leave you. And finally, I guess Elijah realized, I'm not going to be able to shake him. He's committed. Amen. He's committed to me. And that's the kind of person that God can bless. Amen. Commit yourself to the Lord. Commit yourself to the work of God. Be faithful in the calling that he's given to you. And witness his mighty power in your life. Elisha meant business. He was not going to turn aside for any reason. He was like Ruth, who clave to Naomi. He was not going to be shaken. He was not going to be turned. He was not going to turn aside. There's going to have to be some real iron come into our souls in this generation, so that we make some commitments to God, that no matter what comes, no matter what happens, that we have committed ourselves to God and to the Word of God. We're not going to allow anything to keep us from fulfilling the things that God has given to us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He would not be shaken. He didn't want to leave. Notice that he calls him his father. He was his spiritual father. Timothy had Paul as a spiritual father. Others have, and many of you have had people, sometimes an influential person in your life that God has used. And that's such an important biblical principle, that an older generation influence a younger generation. Amen. That we not just turn aside and say, oh, they're just old, they're old-fashioned, they're just fuddy-duddies, they don't know what they're talking about, this is a new day. No, 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 no. Pay attention to those who've already been down this pathway. Pay attention to those who have been faithful to God through tests and trials and burdens that they have, and things that they have suffered. Listen to their counsel. Listen to their words. That's the road to power. That's the road to God's blessing, as you pay attention to these spiritual fathers and mothers that God places in our lives. Amen. Amen. The older women are to instruct the younger women, not the other way around. The older men are to instruct the younger men, not the other way around. It's to be as the younger are to submit themselves. If you listen to spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers, you can learn a lot of things you need to learn. It is the pathway to God's blessing, God's power, if you'll do it that way. He called him his father. And then he wanted to see him translated. Only two, he was the second. Only Enoch and Elijah were translated, that they did not see death, but they went right straight to heaven. You talk about something miraculous and wonderful to witness. He stayed with him because he wanted to see God's supernatural power. He wanted to see the heavens open. He wanted to see the glory of God come in a whirlwind and sweep him up and take him to heaven. If you'll stay close to God, and if you'll follow those that God has placed in your life, you'll witness greater things than you could ever imagine. You'll witness the power of God. You'll witness the hand of God if you'll stay in that place that God wants you to be in. And then he was in the perfect position so that finally when he, just before Elijah is translated, Elijah says, what do you want? What is it that you desire? And he said that I could have a double portion, a double portion of your spirit. You say, well, was he being greedy? No, I believe that he recognized the power of God that was upon Elijah, and he had faith to believe if God can do that much, he can do that much more. And it's interesting in the scripture that there are recorded 16 miracles in the ministry of Elijah and 32 miracles recorded in the ministry of Elisha. He asked for a double portion. He knew that he needed more. Amen. I don't know if he was just thinking, well, you know, Elijah's a great man and he's got this great strength of character and personality, but I'm just a plowboy. I'm just a commoner. If I'm going to do, I'm going to have more. What a lesson for us of this generation. Amen. Our forefathers witnessed the power of God and experienced God's hand upon them, but we're living in days of terrible difficulty and trial. We're living in dark days, tumultuous days. We're living in troubled times. We should be saying, Lord, I know you've poured your spirit out upon generations before, but Lord, here we are. We're at the last few moments of these last days. We're going to have more. We need something more, something greater than even our forefathers had. We need your mighty power demonstrated in our lives. I don't know if you noticed in the text or not, but there were those who were of the school of prophets. Remember, those that were following Elijah that wanted to be instructed by him. So he set up in these different regions schools of prophets. The schools of prophets were literally just like little Bible schools where the prophets trained them and taught them concerning the law of God and spiritual things. But notice that these students are these, I guess we could call them Bible school students, that they come out a couple of times as Elisha's on his way with Elijah. And they say to him, well, listen, you know that today is the day and you're going to lose your spiritual head, your spiritual father. Elijah's, he's getting ready to be taken up. And he said, yeah, I know it. I'm paraphrasing. I know that. And to me, it's interesting that all these young prophets, they all knew what was going to happen that day. They all knew that this was going to be the event to be there. But when they get down to Jordan, it says that they stand afar off. They're just spectators. They stand afar off and they watch the scene unfold before their eyes from a distance. My, how many of us do that very thing? We do that very thing. We know the times we're living in. We know the seriousness of the day, and we know the privileges and the opportunities that are ours if we'll just seek the Lord, that God's power is available to us. But instead, they stand afar off. They stand afar off. Instead of pursuing it, instead of going and getting closer so that they too can receive this power and this blessing from the Lord. Instead, they just stand afar off. And how many church members and churchgoers, we do just that. We know the times we're living in. We know the power that's available to us, but we're not willing to make the sacrifice. We're not really willing to press in to receive the things that God has for us. You know what every one of us in this church, we need to be doing as we're pursuing revival over these next couple of weeks? We need to be right on the heels of the men of God. We need to be right on the heels of the power of God and the Word of God. We need to be right on the heels of the prayer meeting and all of the things that God has made available to us. Let's not stand back from a distance and just look on at what everybody else is doing. Let's fill up the altars. Let's seek the Lord. Let's worship the Lord with our whole heart. Everybody in this building this morning during worship songs and worship time, every one of us should have been on our feet. We should have been clapping our hands and praising God. If Daryl can do it up there, we ought to be able to do it down here. Worship the Lord and get in. Get on the heels of the power of God and the move of God that He wants to send our way. Hallelujah. Notice that what happened whenever He asked, after Elijah is being translated and caught up in that whirlwind into heaven. And I'm sure that Elisha is just mesmerized by this miraculous event that's taking place right before his eyes. And as he sees that, he sees the mantle of Elijah falling from him, falling his way. And he rents his own clothes. He tears off all of his own clothes so that when that mantle arrives from the sky, that he can clothe himself with that new mantle. Praise God. Hallelujah. You want the power of God to rest upon you? Get rid of everything else. Get rid of the old life. Get rid of the flesh. Get rid of the carnality of your life. Get rid of those things that are your hindrances. Get rid of those things. Tear off the old garments. Rid yourself of all the hindrances so that you can take on the power of God in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. I think a lot of us, we're like those sons of the prophets. We know a lot of things, and that's our trouble. We know a lot about things that have happened in the past, and we just kind of live there. We live in the past. But let me tell you, this is the day of Elijah. These are the days of Elisha. This is the time that we must recognize that God wants to pour it out His Spirit. And even in a double portion, if you are hungering and thirsting after God, He will satisfy your heart's desire. Hallelujah. You know that all the resources of heaven are ready, and God is willing to give you what you need to face the challenges of this day. Amen. Everything that we need. I know we're up against some big challenges. I know that in our culture today, it's so anti-Bible and anti-Christ. I know there's this move away from God and away from revival. But instead of looking at all these things, we need to look to the great, mighty God who has all power. Amen. And that He's the God that can pour His Spirit out upon us sufficient for the day. Really, that's what Elisha's prayer was. I need a double portion. He knew what he needed, and he asked God for the very thing that he knew that he had to have. In these days, there are many challenges, lots of pressures. We all face them. We don't know from one week to the next the types of challenges that we're going to face. You face them. I face them. Numbers of things just in recent days and weeks that have been just great. Weights and burdens upon us. But I want you to know that God is waiting in the wings for people to say, God, what I need is more. I need more. I'm grateful for what you did in the past. But Lord, we're living in such a dark time. I need more. I need a double portion of your Spirit to be poured out upon me. He knew what he needed and he asked for it. Amen. Glory to God. There is that wonderful power of God that's available to every one of us if we will not stop short of the promise of God. Elisha spent his ministry following close. If you'll just get on the heels of the things of God, if you'll just pursue Jesus and pursue the Word of God and pursue spiritual things, then you're going to find yourself one of these days in position for the Spirit of God to be poured out upon you in a wonderful way. The power of God revealed to you in the way that you so desperately need in this hour. Glory to God. You know, the world recognizes and everybody recognizes the need for the power of God. It says in our text that those sons of the prophets that were watching from afar. Verse 15. When the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elisha. They had witnessed him with that cloak, with that mantle, striking that same body of water that they had just walked across. This time, Elisha does it with that same mantle, and the water rolls back. And when they saw that, they recognized the same spirit that rested upon Elijah was now upon Elisha. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, how we need something that the world will recognize that the power of God rests upon us. That will set us apart from others if we have His power at work in our lives. If you're touched and filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Is that your hunger? Is that your desire? You long for God to work and to move in your behalf. Let me tell you, this power is available. It's available for those that will pursue God, pursue revival, pursue the things of God with your whole heart. Let's stand together. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for the promise of your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you're working among young and old. You're working and speaking to our hearts. Lord, in these last days, we recognize how much we need you, Lord. Lord, these are troubled times, but Lord, we know your grace is sufficient.
Your power is sufficient for these times. And Lord, our hope and our confidence is in you today. No matter what comes, no matter what struggles, no matter what challenges, Lord, we're not going to be deterred. We're going to pursue you. We're not going to stop. We're not going to turn aside. But Lord, we're going to pursue the move of God, the power of God in our lives. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is that your desire here this morning? You recognize you need more. You need more. Amen.